Hello and welcome to The Awakening for Capricorn. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer. Not quite up to full vocal capacity. I've been a little bit under the weather this week, but continuing to work at a slower than planned pace, but nonetheless, proceeding along. And today's the 27th of December, a Friday, and I'm happy to be up to Capricorn, which has been a topic of so much astrological thought over the past 16 years, because this has been where Pluto has been visiting. Hold on a second. Potting up a little bit here. All right. So, first, a joke. I was emailing with a therapist I correspond with. I'm someone in the men's advocacy movement last night, and I made a comment in one of my emails about how the most important thing that we have to do under these, the powers that be are shaking up the bottle in which we ants live. This seems to be going on a regular basis, and we love these people, Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos and all them. And I said that the thing that counts the very, very, very most now is cooperation. And he said, "What would that look like?" Now, I don't know if that was a therapy-style probe to see what I came back with. He's not my therapist. We're colleagues and friends. Or if he was really unsure what cooperation would look like. He's a bit older than me. I think probably an excellent therapist and a sensitive person. So I gave him a rundown of my own personal examples of what cooperation looks like. But I think that it's amazing that we would have to even consider, you know, what it would look like given how obvious it is what it means to cooperate. Barn raising or helping your buddy fix his transmission or watching your girlfriend's kids while she goes to whatever the Yankee game. But I think it's worth putting a pin in the map there. And I say this because at long last, we are done with at least and by the way, I'm not thinking very fast right now, so I'm not working from a script, so I'm going to stop and contemplate things before I just spout them out. So please bear with me while I think in real time. I am merely looking at a chart, the same one that you're looking at, and no words. Well, and also the scribbly blue lines on the screen in Audacity recording this. So we have to think out loud about cooperation because it's as if people have forgotten what it means. The reason people have forgotten what it means is all of a sudden everyone has everything. No one needs anyone. Everyone has everything they need, everything they could possibly want. If they don't want it, they can just, you know, go deeper into debt and get it. You can have your personal I know I harp on this. I just think it's so hideous. You know, you have your pizza profile. You punch the button. Your pizza shows up. Your card is hit, and the next thing you know, you're looking at your perfect mushroom, anchovy, pesto pizza. So there's no sense that we need one another, and the digital society that we live in now is the perfect example of what it looks like to eliminate the need to work together for anything. This is just a very extreme form of not only do we not need, you know, common place to do the laundry, but every family should have a washing machine on every floor, so you can do the upstairs wash upstairs and the downstairs wash downstairs. And hey, you don't need to carry your wash basket up the stairs or down the stairs. Your kitchen stuff is always just going to be on the first floor. Much more secure that way. And here in the time of these extreme digital conditions, which have come into fruition during Pluto in Capricorn, the iPhone, which was the, you might say, the last tipping point in full digital conditions, comes out in 07. And Pluto enters Capricorn the next year. And there's always one big thing that happens right before Pluto changes signs, or any major planet changes signs, that's evocative of the new era. And the iPhone coming out, it's got the charts, got a lot of Aquarius in it, and it, you know, it's it looks very visionary and so forth. But in reality, we're talking about a thing that is going to undermine known reality completely shift everyone's relationships, sculpt and shape the consciousness of every child. Where what do you do? What does a second grader do with their iPhone? Oh, they call 911 when there's a mass shooting. And we all just go on with our day. I don't really think any second graders had flip phones. So we have lived through this undermining. And you have lived through this undermining. I have written about Pluto and Capricorn thousands of fucking times. But the ultimate test of Pluto and Capricorn is your story of what you have been through. And look, while I've got you here, if you want, if we collaboratively want to write an essay, short, medium, or long, my experience of Pluto and Capricorn, I will pull them together and publish them. And I'd like these to come from people with Cap Moon, Cap Rising. It is likely that there is not much left of the life that you had in 2007. And I'm not saying that your life is worse, because you are a trooper. And Capricorn is the, you know, hardy creature that survives anything and, you know, climb a mountain and swim in the sea. Though one of the great losses has been in-person relating, not controlled through devices nor the state of mind created by exposure to the devices. This is the problem. And when all is said and done, in your charts. And I think I got, I'm not, I haven't looked back at the Capricorn reading, but I am pretty sure that I have not really interpreted what it means for you to have Libra on the 10th place. And it came to me last night that what that really means is that you are a teacher of cooperation, that you are one of the best to lead you and the people around you forward through this ridiculous, you know, reduced to crack version of every man for himself that we are living in, which is a complete and total lie. No one can make toilet paper, if you can stand the stuff. You don't grow garlic. You can't make the water flow from your tap. Society is the biggest collaboration that there is, but the overconsumption that we experience and the parched sense of desperation that we are being pushed into, which could become a literal hunger game at any moment. Well, that's about a false individuality that really is just mass tribalism. Tribalism often comes with the false sense of individuality. For example, I think the most grotesque example of this from advertising, which often produces the best examples of things, was the ad for the Army of One. Imagine that. An army of one, like you're going to go get the commies all by yourself and not require the other people in your platoon to save your ass. So Libra 10th place. Now, 10th is vocation and calling. That's the theme of these audio readings. We've certainly, you know, talked about all the personal themes, and I went real strong on Aries in the 4th in the written one. That much I remember. I stopped and actually did chart research to find out who has the signature of Capricorn first house, Aries fourth house. The 10th place, 10th house, 10th place, same thing, expresses what you want to do outside the house, what you want to experience as the mark you make on the world, the action that you want to take. And Libra here is humorously un-Capricorn, because Capricorn is often portrayed as being this competitive kind of thing, and you know, the extra executive, you know, Mr. Success, and so forth and so on. And it's true that the Capricorn people that I know are exceedingly charming and have a political sense and all that, but consider the role of Libra in that, which is a relational sense. And there are planets here that are going to provide a very helpful counterbalance to anyone who's aware of them and who uses them, who just taps into their underlying existence. And the first of these is Logos, which is, among other things, and the best reading I gave of Logos is in Libra. Let's pull that up, because Philip K. Dick came up just coincidentally among the Libra reading was just loaded with synchronicity. And I think that it'd be worth having this language. So let's get it. Because this describes what you may experience as aspiration, or as a calling. That's what vocation means. It means what is vocally vocation calling you. So this is from the Philip K. Dick essay, How to Build a Universe That Doesn't Fall Apart 2 days Later. And I link it from Libra, but the PDF is easily found on the internet. He wrote that in pre-Socratic thought, logos was both that which thought and the thing which it thought, the thought and the thinker. The universe, then, is thinker and thought, and since we are part of it, we humans are, in the final analysis, thoughts and thinkers of our thoughts. Or, as A Course in Miracles puts it, you are an idea. And what I am proposing here is that now that you are a fully vetted Pluto graduate, and by the way, being a Pluto graduate means that you have also been through Neptune in your sign, Uranus in your sign, Saturn in your sign, Chiron in your sign, anything that qualifies as an outer planet by the definition of most astrologers, except for Eris, has come through Capricorn in recent living memory, by which I mean back to the late 1980s. You are now in a position of master, elder, something, someone who has endured significant tribulation to get to the place where you are. And when that happens, I think it is a helpful thing for those individuals speaking to you to recognize their role as exemplar. And that, to my mind, is going to be about cooperation, really exploring and demonstrating what cooperation is. And I guess it needs to be explained now. I guess you need to say to people that you're not just we're not just doing things for ourselves. You know, yeah, everyone has everything, and everyone's an expert because they can just yak into their phone and AI can spew back something. AI, by the way, thinks that it's certain that Eric Francis and Eric Francis Coppolino are two different people. I put that question directly to it. They're like, it said, well, they certainly seem to have a lot in common. But they are two distinctly different people. Like, have you looked up their birthday? Really? So that's a ridiculous concept. Most of what we need each other for is to teach each other things. We need one another for our acquired knowledge. And the embodiment of that acquired knowledge, the ability to act in accord with who you actually are. This is bad news for a lot of people who are utterly thriving on the bullshit economy that we live in now, where you just AI yourself into being two different people or whatever, and or you set up social media and YouTube accounts, and you declare yourself a prophet, and you frighten people. That is a quick way. I should type that up as a business plan and like sell it for $5,000. You just spread misery and fear. And with Libra on the 10th place, you hold the torch of collaboration and cooperation. You understand that nothing happens without collaboration and cooperation. It's a little like going from the assembly line method of Henry Ford to, I forget which Japanese automaker, realized that it works, it may have been Nissan, it works better when you have a team of people assembling one car, because they have a sense of accomplishment that they built that one car together, and they built it well, and they see the trajectory of the project. It has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And I don't know if you know any of the Japanese automakers that are especially having problems, certainly not as a result of this. And I suggest that that's how you think of your role, as to make that shift from this kind of robotic assembly line thinking into genuine collaboration and the human pleasure of having done something well. We are losing rapidly, we collectively, and are losing rapidly our human pleasures of all forms of the things that make us people. And one of them is collaboration, and another one is, I think a lot of it comes down to helping each other. And this rugged individualism myth has gone way too far. And it's now become a thing that we are trapped in by pizza profiles. You read the stories of the guy who doesn't even want to open the door for the DoorDash delivery person. They just, they crack the door. They don't even make eye contact. The person hands them a bag of food. I'm waiting for the DoorDash serial killer to come along. You know, they hack the DoorDash app and, anyway. Okay, let's see where this might manifest. From Libra, we go to Venus retrograde, right? The sign C tracks think train. Well, I would say C Libra, think Venus, and we find Venus about to do something interesting in your chart, which is that it's about to trace the steps of all the planets that are entering Aries, your fourth place, which was such a lavish topic of the written reading. And I found it to be very puzzling thing to really need to focus on in a reading, but there's no getting around it with Neptune and Saturn entering Aries and then Chiron and Eris forming a conjunction in Aries. There's no escaping this. There's no escaping the urgency of understanding, and whatever this represents for you, my intent is to make it a creative and productive experience for you in as much as can be modified by interpretation. And a lot is modified by interpretation. There are things that, a train derailment, okay, that there's not a lot of room to interpret a train derailment, but almost everything else. And you have been through such a prolonged phase of grounding that when we shift the activity into the fourth house of grounding, of security, of home, of you being where you belong, right? I mean, how's that for Aries in the fourth? All right, let's come back to Venus after a few minutes of music by Kristen Williams. Thank you. Okay. So when there is about to be a big sequence of transits, and this one involving your ruling planet Saturn, which amplifies the importance for you. If it was Jupiter, you know, well, that's nice. And Jupiter's doing plenty this year, but we're talking Capricorn and Saturn, and then the activity occurring in an angular house, meaning on your cross, cardinal cross, which consists of Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, we know we're talking about a priority event that's very close to home. That's the fourth house, close to home, where you feel safe, where you feel secure. This is not a conscious feeling that many people feel, even though they may be, to the extent you can be, perfectly secure on this planet. They may be perfectly secure. Anyway, when there's going to be a major transit event, there's often some kind of a probe, or what you can think of as a, it's not really predictive. It's more of a probe because it's sussing out the territory. And so Venus in the spring, in March, I think, my laptop is closed and I don't quite have the sequence of events. It's got to be in the late winter. Passes through Pisces. It forms conjunctions to Neptune and Saturn. It stations retrograde in Aries. It repeats those conjunctions. It stations direct. It repeats them again in some form. This is going to be at least mostly right. And so there is like this warm-up act of Venus, sensory, right? It's a sensory probe, an emotional sensory probe that rules your 10th place, the action that you want to take. To tell us what it might feel like for you to act from the inside out. There's a good Aries fourth house rubric. Acting from the inside out. So much of what the digital environment does, and I'm never, ever going to shut up about the digital environment. It is our only problem right now. Because every other problem has that problem in the way. Right? We can't solve the PFAS problem without solving the digital problem that's making people not worry about the PFAS problem, so and so and so on. So when we get our senses, and when you get your senses into the act, well, what exactly do you feel? What exactly do you notice? And this will serve as an example for how to suss out the territory of all of your future decisions made from the inside out. And then this really unusual dance of Neptune and Saturn entering Aries and dancing around on the Aries point, begins. There's an old Paul McCartney album called Back to the Egg. I think it may be the last Wings album. And the cover is wonderful. I don't know if Hypnosis did the cover. I'm pretty sure they did. The great album cover designers of the 1970s. But anyway, it's a photo of the band where it's like they move the coffee table out of the way and they roll up the carpet on the floor to see what's underneath it. And they're looking out at a window on what appears to be a spacecraft, but it looks like they're in a house. But they're really in a spacecraft, and they're looking out at outer space with these slightly amazed expressions on their faces. It's a really great cover. I'll see if I could find it and include it for you. This is what it means to have the first degree of Aries in your fourth house. Your fourth house is that house where, you know, where the band is hanging out. That would be you. And hidden down there in what seems like a private and enclosed space is a portal to something on a whole different scale. And this is part of what you're feeling, feeling out, testing, probing with the Venus transit. And the question of Libra and Venus for you is, what is the action to be taken here? That's not always the question with Venus. That's more like a Mars question. But with Venus on your 10th house, the house of praxis, well, then for our purposes, Venus is at least going to be providing information, by which I mean sensory data, emotional data, and emotionally aligned intelligence about what the correct action to take is. Then this, sequence of planetary events ensues. And the total proper reading of the fourth, which is Aries for you, includes the Chiron-Eris conjunction, which is this shocking awakening as to the nature of the disembodiment problem that we are living with. The problem of all having woken up one day in a replica of our lives. And not only that, but most people live like that. This is not really my life. It's just some illusion that seems like my life. And then they forget that. Okay. And Chiron Eris is opposite this super Jupiter in Libra that nobody ever talks about called Zeus. One of those hypotheticals without a body. Chiron Eris opposite Zeus. Very precise opposition. Which is, again, emphasizing the necessary collaborative nature of any action that you take. Now, I do realize that a committee of one gets things done, and that, it's often better to not have too many collaborators. Smaller team is usually better, the right people doing the right thing, and everyone being a little overworked, not going for too many hands making too light work. I think the correct formula is the slightly overcrowded restaurant with the line, and everybody knows if people are willing to stand outside in the cold, it's worth eating there. So collaboration, but keep it small. And this is, Zeus reminds me, this is a superpower for you. And people are desperate for this. People are desperate for any experience of cooperation, though I don't think most know about this. They're not sure what they're desperate for. They're desperate for something human, but who doesn't, right? But the human thing is to collaborate. I mean, it's kind of like having a dog and your dog loves to chase a frisbee. Well, you go outside and you throw the frisbee because that's a cooperative activity and it's being done merely for fun. There's no, you don't gain Bitcoin credits for every time you throw the frisbee, although I'd love to see a frisbee with a chip installed in it that actually helps you accrue cryptocurrency every time you throw it and you kind of earn points on the blockchain just by paying fetch with your dog. But this is what humans need. We need to play fetch. And your calling look, and this is astrology. This is all going on in my personal Wayne's world of, you know, this little chart that I drew with my magic markers acquired at an ordinary art supply store. This is what I see as what your professional life should be about. Now, the nice thing about this is that it could apply to anything from managing the garden center to selling life insurance or real estate. Now, you know, insurance and real estate, it's a dumbass kind of cooperation that's making money. So you need better than this. Libra wants to make beauty. We are having to relearn what beauty is. This is a digital thing. That beauty's been reduced to a picture, so now it's a form of voyeurism. It has been reduced to some, which is a form of a replica. And when you look around in digital space, I mean, I see websites that it's a good thing there's not a hammer on the table, or I'd ruin my very nice computer wanting to, you know, stop this website from existing. I should just learn how to be a black hat hacker. Maybe that would be a white hat hacker to shut down the Daily Freeman website. That's her local paper. All right. Now, there is a couple of more points going into Aries here. One of them is Boris Cici. And I will continue to recommend this book, which I think is one of the great morality tales of our day, though it was written, published 61 years ago. It's called Cat's Cradle by Kurt Vonnegut. And the only flaw of this book is you'll wish it was longer. This is Kurt writing at the very peak of his powers before he was known, before he was famous. The book kind of flopped. Like a lot of things, now people agree this is just one of the great things ever written, and it's called Cat's Cradle, and it's a story of the world being on the brink of annihilation, and how the people behave. In this is a common theme of Kurt Vonnegut. I read Galapagos too, and it's Galapagos is a little bit of a remake of Cat's Cradle, but I like Cat's Cradle a lot better. And it's like, you know, 25 years ahead of Galapagos. Anyway, the god from Cat's Cradle winds up getting a planet named after it. And, you know, despite my investigative prowess, I could not figure out how this happened. Or none of the discoverers would tell me. They were either all denying it, or they actually didn't know. And we could factor this into the delineation of Boris Cici. But the bottom line on Boris Cici is that I think that it represents, I take it as representing all of the themes of Cat's Cradle. And the themes of Cat's Cradle are how we treat one another in this moment of everything being so precariously balanced on the brink, which is where we live. Look, there may not be a nuclear war, and everything may not end tomorrow, and all the toxic fertilizer may not hurt you and all that, but we live as if we are on the brink. Now, the other thing, the spiritual piece of Boris Cici is that the only way to do this is by pretending that it's not happening, is to use denial. And so Boris Cici is about the quote-unquote necessary lies. So you want to know where you stand in relationship to the necessary lies. I live with one foot in this world with all of these so-called health freedom presenters who, to me, are really starting to sound like they are unhinged and off their meds when they say things like, well, yeah, you know, we know that there aren't really any viruses, but our readers aren't ready to hear this. They'll think I'm crazy, which means they'll cancel their subscriptions, at least in the presenter's mind. And so they tell this pretty little lie to keep everyone complacent, supposedly complacent. And do they know where they really stand in relationship to the lie? They kind of pretend to, but I'm not sure they see the bigger problem. But you must see this issue for what it is. To anchor yourself to what you know to be true, not too heavy of an anchor, but enough of an anchor that you know where you have a mooring. And to know where you stand in relationship to everyone who is making shit up so that they feel better. And this is very Saturn-Neptune also. There's going to be no getting around this with Saturn-Neptune. And it's quite hilarious that because Saturn represents the reality principle, Neptune represents this principle of fantasy, imagination, and denial. So when you mix the reality principle with imagination, fantasy, and denial, you're going to get some strange and interesting compounds that may have highly unusual, persistent qualities. And into this mix comes Borsisi, the element of consciousness that would sort out what is from what isn't, what is true from what is not true. Okay, so then there is Selesia in Aries. And this ties in to an aspect pattern that is remaining in Capricorn for the foreseeable future. I've got to make an ephemeris for this and see how long it's really going to go on for. But we're talking, hold on, I'm going to pause and shut up for a second and let's get that thing on the screen. But I've got to build it in this program called True Node. So hold on a second. Okay, this pattern is going to be affecting, influencing, describing Capricorn out to 2039, 2040. So almost as long as Pluto's going to be in Aquarius. And this is what I'm calling the Family Hunger Game cluster in Aquarius, which is this in Capricorn, this legacy of desperation that is created in families. Legacy of desperation created in families and largely preserved by, pickled by, alcohol. Because alcohol is always the symbol of what is not being dealt with. So if somewhere in your family lineage background, there was an alcoholic, that's where to look for the problem. If you determine that you're dipping in a little too much, then the first step in your therapy process is to call a moratorium and see what you learn, see what you feel, see what you discover. And it's not going to take you 10 years to figure this out. If you're thinking you're drinking too much, and you're able to cool it for 3 months, you will have enough material to work with for the rest of your life. But part one of that is to to find where the alcohol abuse was up to your great-grandparents' line. And then you look there for the issue. So that's Pholus. Cuellar takes us back to the origins of the tribe. Ixion. Here's the Hunger Game piece. Ixion is the cruelty for its own sake and the elimination of the concept of right and wrong. It's not that someone violates their moral structure. It's they don't think that they need one. That's an even more, advanced approach to the problem of right and wrong, is you suspend it and you kind of say, well, it's all good. You know, you love those people. Oh, well, he shot his whole family. Oh, well, I guess they had it coming. Oh, it's all good. Well, you know, at least the funeral director made some money. There's always the amoral person in the family. This is me partly speculating and partly knowing something. I'm speculating because I haven't talked to every person in the world. That somebody like this, someone who proceeds through life with sliding along on the lubrication of they're not needing to be right or wrong. That's really convenient. Who was that? And then the fourth point in the cluster, which is regularly visited by other planets. At the moment, Pallas Athene is there, going to be a big star in the new moon on Monday the 30th. The fourth player in this is a point called Cupido, which is an ultra slow mover, probably the slowest mover of the group. Though I have to use a separate calculator for that because it's not an actual planet; it's an imaginary planet. But Cupido, you might say, Cupido is either the gathering point of the happy family, that turns into like one of these Netflix dramas where all the subterfuge, everybody gathers for the family picnic. And then it's just this story of betrayal and subterfuge going on. This all, as if it wasn't enough. And it's pretty damn interesting. And I think, and I hope I mentioned this in the written reading, that the benefit of all of this is a benefit of wisdom. And the wisdom is part an intuitive wisdom, and it's part acquired knowledge based on observation and experience. And you're probably the deep thinker type. I mean, who knows? But I think you will find it very helpful to make this family map and spare no one and map out the psychopaths, who are identified by their lack of empathy, which doesn't always look like lack of empathy. Sometimes it looks like dedication to work. Sometimes it looks like ambition. Sometimes it looks like, not being there at all. But if you start by going back to your great-grandparents and you're sensitive to the story the family told itself about where it came from and the story of how you got to be there, and this will have particular implications for adoptive people who get their whole family of origin story completely, run through the blender several times. Okay, all this is going on, and it has a direct connection to this point called Salacia, which is in Aries, which is in your fourth place, which is a container of childhood experiences. What is the sexual angle on this? And how was your sense of appropriateness affected? I am calling a theme of Salacia, and you can search around on Chiron and Friends all day long, and where this kind of a compendium of all the minor planet people except for me will not find anyone saying anything like this. Okay, what else is new? Salacia, that which is sexually appropriate, no, the sexual experiences, feelings, and activities which are appropriate for you. This is not territory people go in very often. We're almost always making these assessments and evaluations based on morality or alleged morality. That brings up an Ixion theme. But this pattern, it is astounding that it is holding the essentially the same pattern today in December of 2024 that it will be holding in December of 2039, that the planets are essentially all moving at the same speed. Ixion catches up a little bit, so it pulls a little bit of extra focus, but this is a persistent matter. This should get, I've got to write a major piece about this to describe this, because I think that the nexus of amorality concealed by alcohol with a happy face put on it, combined with the influence of whatever's going on in there on one's sense of appropriateness about your sexuality, what are your actual boundaries? And you may find that that answer has any, but you know, number of possibilities that you have had boundaries set that are far too narrow for your precocious and curious nature, or you may find that you have been pushed beyond limits before that was vaguely appropriate. Well, and now what you now what you do with that is you attend a trauma protest. You march around with a sign that says "I'm traumatized." No, that's not the approach. There has to be a healing approach to this. There has to be an inward, focused, sensitive to reality. Study in what the distortion that you're dealing with is. And the beauty of sexual healing is that when you find the right approach to sexuality for yourself, the healing can proceed very quickly. If you have the right partner who actually understands your situation, who is not afraid of what you've been through, and who you're fairly sure will never use it against you, which is always a possibility. But there are people who will be, who are mensches, who will respect you and value your trust and your well-being. Once you're acting appropriately for yourself, and then slightly expanding, dilating that just a little, just testing the boundaries, whether they are an outward boundary or whether, as often happens, the boundary is a prohibited space in your mind. This is often what happens. We think of boundaries as being these thing like a, this is my boundary. Don't come within 18 inches of me. I don't like it if you kiss me. I mean, if I had, if I had like boundary issues, I'd be screaming "Me Too" every 5 minutes. People, particularly before COVID, would squish themselves against me in all walks of life. And fortunately, I'm more dog than anything. So, the other kind of boundary though is that there's this forbidden zone within you. That's the one that's interesting. That's the one that's necessary to engage with. That's the one that the outer boundary is a kind of a mockery of. And if you look within yourself and you allow yourself to enter spaces of your own consciousness that you recognize as forbidden, but you do the tantric thing and you go toward them rather than away from them. And when you come to the fence, you determine what it's made of, and you look for an opening, first of all. And if you don't have one, you walk the perimeter. And maybe you decide you want to go in. Maybe it takes a bolt cutter, or maybe it's going to take a crowbar to pull down some planks on the fence. And then maybe one day you go inside. And you look around and you see what's contained there. And then you will experience something akin to authentic emotional freedom. And maybe the real thing. Because these inner constructs, these inner forbidden zones, really are the bane of humanity. And you deserve to not be living with any part of yourself that is not available to you. There's no place in you that you don't belong. It is you. You're the thought. You're the thinker. All right. Hey, it's been very exciting doing Pluto and Capricorn readings for you since 2007 when I started looking ahead at the 2008 business that we have all been through. I'm glad the world is still here, more or less. Well, at least it looks like it. All right. Lots of love. Remember, if you want to write an essay, what I learned from Pluto and Capricorn, get my attention. Lots of love. And bye for now.